We talk about, one of the headlines used the word beetle. Others talk about the emerald ash borer.
Well, the borer is an actual beetle. So they're one and the same. Once you get familiar with them, a lot of us just shorten it to EAB.
What does it do? It is native to Asia. It's now in Texas, has been for a couple of years. And what is it doing, and why is it an issue?
Well, to begin with, it was found in Michigan in 2002, and it quickly spread to 33 states by 2018, which gives you an idea how fast it can move. It was confirmed to be in Fort Worth and Denton more recently. So they are in our area. And the biggest concern is they enter into the tree and they chew significant parts of the tree, primarily the vascular system of the tree that's transporting elements and water up and down the trunk. They chew into that portion of the tree, which damages it, and it prevents the tree from transporting those elements of water up and down the trunk.
How native is the ash tree to Texas? I know that there are areas of it in the Great Trinity Forest in Dallas, for example, but statewide?
Oh, it varies by the location in the state. The primary ash species are the green ash, which is found East Texas, throughout the central part of the state, probably not quite as much in West Texas. West Texas, you're more likely to find the Texas ash. And then the other variety that's in the state of Texas is the white ash. And they are found both East Texas and in the central part of the state, all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. So ash trees are fairly prominent. And when it comes to the Great Trinity Forest, I did some research on this a number of months ago, and you go back to 2006 and 2007, we did an inventory. We were working on a management plan for the Great Trinity Forest, the Forest and Wildlife Management Plan, and we did some inventories, and we found that there's 2,271 acres of mixed ash, which means that's mostly ash with some other species mixed in. That's 2,271 acres. There was also 121 acres that are pure ash, nothing but ash down there. And that is a huge concern. Once they get down there, they will devastate, you know, close to 40% or more of the forest. And once they die, that has several different concerns. First of all, it's people are aware that trees absorb carbon. It's really carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, nitrogen oxide, sulfur dioxide, and ozone that are sequestered and held by the tree. And when these 40% of the forest dies, all those materials, as the tree starts to decay, is released back into the air, which will have a detrimental effect to our air quality. As well as the particulate matter, which is not quite as well understood by the public, but trees help to hold a lot of the particulate matter in the air that can cause respiratory illnesses and problems as well. So that is a lot of dead trees. And then the next concern is, you know, you've got 2,000 acres almost of dead trees. It wouldn't take but a little bitty spark, and the whole thing goes up in flames. And when that happens, it will be like California and more recently Colorado. Colorado was affected by a different insect, but they had a great number of dead trees, and it didn't take but a spark, and they had some monumental wildfires that affected people's health because just of the smoke. It's south of the Great Trinity Forest, is south of downtown. So if we have a fire in the summer months, that smoke is going to go right through downtown and into North Dallas. So at that point, that was my bigger concern. Once I realized that, you know, people are going to say, why didn't anybody tell us about it? And of course, that's when I thought, well, I better start speaking up now before they really get to our area. And the other thing that's really unusual is that I am probably the most likely person to get called when a tree is threatened and it's going to be removed to try to help save the trees. And, you know, I've spent my adult career, almost 40 years, a little over 40 years now, caring for trees and trying to save trees as much as I can. For me to turn around and say, oh, let's cut down trees, is kind of a unique situation, especially when they're healthy, you know, and not likely to fall on somebody, because that's when we, as arborists, do have to recommend removal. A tree is unhealthy, it's declining, especially if it has a pathogen or the insect problem like emerald ash borer, but also when it's structurally unsound and it can fall. You know, if a tree's over a playground where the kids play, for instance, or a road or anything else, where a target can be hit, we call them targets because it can be property or people that can be injured by the trees, we have to recommend removal. But in this case, I'm recommending removal of perfectly healthy trees, primarily because I don't want them to release all that material back up into the air. If we can timber cut these trees and cut them into lumber, then it can be made into furniture or flooring or paneling or, believe it or not, baseball bats. A lot of your baseball bats are made out of ash. So it's a highly usable species of tree and wood that can be used for a lot of different things. And when you do that, all that material that it's sequestered and held is now held for a much longer period of time.
I've read in the past, as the emerald ash borer was moving along and other issues have affected ash trees, that even baseball, organized baseball, has switched to pine for its bats.
That's correct. And it's not surprising, because a lot of ash, there are millions of ash that have been lost. I mean, 33 states since 2018, and that is many millions of ash trees that have had to be removed. So, you know, once this pest makes it its way across the country, there's not going to be a whole lot of ash left, and that's very unfortunate.
So what can be done, if anything? You mentioned the cutting as one alternative. What about sprays, poisons, traps? What else might work to slow down or stop the emerald ash borer, the EAB?
Well, there are a number of insecticides that can be used. Most of them are injected into the vascular system of the tree, which will protect it for around 2 years from the emerald ash borer. So if you have an ash tree in your front yard, it may be a value to you, then you would probably, and once they get close to you, you know, we're not recommending that everybody go and treat their trees right now. It's not in Dallas yet, but it will likely be in the very near future. So it's kind of a heads up and a warning to our clients, especially to let them know, you know, if it gets nearby, we're going to let you know, and we're going to encourage you to protect your trees by using the insecticide. There are natural means that do have an effect on them. There is a wasp that's being studied that can kill them, but it's not necessarily something you can do at your house that's going to affect them. The traps are something that we're planning to use in probably starting in March. We'll put pheromone traps around the Dallas area to find if we can trap any of the insects. That's one way we find out how far outwards it has moved. And it can move up to like 12 miles outwards in a year's time. So the fact that it's in Fort Worth, it's in Denton, it may already be in Dallas, but we haven't been able to confirm that. And that includes Collin County and Dallas County as well.
There was a recent report that quoted Mike Sills with the A&M Forest Service, and he said not recommending, as you mentioned, not recommending treating trees until an active sighting, and he was saying within 15 miles or so. What are we looking for if we have an ash tree in our yard? What are we looking for that might let us know that something's getting close or is already there?
Well, when the emerald ash borer hits the tree, it starts up in the upper canopy of the tree. So what we're looking for is dieback in the upper limbs themselves. It also has a very characteristic D-shaped hole in the trunks of the trees, or the upper limbs. If it's starting up in the upper limbs, and we're looking for that D-shaped hole, because there's other types of borers, but they all have a circular around hole. Emerald ash borer has a D-shaped hole. Now, the adults come out of the trees in early spring, in March and April probably. That's why we're trying to trap them around that period of time. But they travel to new ash trees. They lay their eggs inside the bark of a new tree, or the same tree in some cases. As those eggs start to emerge, it is a small larva that bores into the trunk of the tree or into the limb of the tree, and then travels up and down and all around inside the vascular system of the tree. That's how it starts to damage it. So then it overwinters inside the tree, and then again next spring, it comes back out as an adult. So that's briefly stated the life cycle of the insect.
If they're looking to buy something that's made with ash, or they're getting firewood that's ash, how do we stop it from coming in? I know it showed up in Harrison County in 2016, from what I was reading, but how do we keep it from spreading further? What can we do as consumers?
Well, that's a very good point. And the thing that we are thinking about, we couldn't understand how it would go from East Texas a few years ago, and traveled all the way to Fort Worth, but nowhere in between. And the most likely reason being, somebody cut down an ash somewhere east of here and brought the firewood to Fort Worth. We think the site has been in Fort Worth for like 5 or 6 years now. Mm. So the only way it could travel that far is through the firewood. So Fort Worth and now Denton both have quarantines, which were established by the Department of Agriculture. They quarantine those areas for firewood to prevent the firewood from being from traveling outside those counties, to try to help reduce the spread of it. So that's something that we as arborists are very cognizant of, very cautious about. If we are called to Fort Worth, we have to cut down an ash tree, we have to keep those logs in Fort Worth. There's a few recycling companies in Fort Worth, so we're planning to just keep the wood out there. But if we brought firewood from Fort Worth to Dallas, it's likely that we would be bringing that insect to Dallas, and there you go. It's just moved a long distance over a brief period of time. So would I be cautious about buying ash firewood? I would, depending on where it came from. You know, if I was buying it from somebody that cut it down in the same county, you're probably okay. But if not, you could be helping to spread the insect even further. So the next question that a lot of people have asked, should I be planting an ash?
The
answer is probably not. Wouldn't be a good idea right now, you know, until the emerald ash borer is no longer a problem. If you plant an ash, you're taking a lot of risk, number one, and you're almost guaranteed that you're going to have to treat it every couple of years to try to keep the tree alive. And, you know, would everybody benefit from treating them? Well, look at it this way. If Grandpa planted that ash tree, you know, it's not just any old tree. You know, people think, oh, trees are just the green things outside. Well, no. If Grandpa planted it, you know, if you planted it in honor of the mayor of your city or something like that, it's not just a tree anymore. It can be considered a heritage. And some of them are even historic trees that we certainly want to try to preserve.
And I know that people can follow and get information from the Texas Forest Service, Texas A&M Forest Service.
So that's probably where I would direct people. But if they have questions or concerns with their own trees, obviously, they need to contact their own consulting arborist for advice that may pertain to their particular trees at their location. You know, the other thing that we've been pushing the city for, oh, you go back in the early 2000s, we had no urban foresters. No foresters were hired by the city. Mm. So we wanted the city to hire urban foresters, and I went to the Texas Forest Service for help. And believe it or not, Pete Smith was there at the time. He helped me convince the Forest Service to give the city of Dallas a 4-year grant worth $100,000 to hire our first forester. And I thought, well, the city will surely jump on board. Well, of course, when I went down there to try to convince the council to bring them on, they're like, well, that's only 4 years. We don't want to cover the rest of the expense. And so it was like, you know, we're giving you $100,000 and you're hesitant to do it. So that was our first effort. And there's been numerous efforts to hire more foresters. But right now we have four foresters in the city and four different departments down there. Mm. So the overall objective in the long term is to establish a Department of Urban Forestry for the city of Dallas. And one forester is only going to be able to do so much, especially without any resources or limited resources to be able to fight the insect. We're hopeful that we can establish a Department of Urban Forestry in the future. And that's one of the other pushes that we'll be lobbying council for in the months to come. So once we have that, I think we'll have a much better chance. You know, the next question out of their mouth is they've had a number of questions already, and I've briefed Councilmember Chad West and a few other council members on this subject already.
Okay.
But the next question is, what's it going to cost us to have to cut down these trees? And the answer is really nothing. You know, there are timber cutters in East Texas that are willing to, we hope will be willing to come here to remove the ash trees. They cut them up into long sections, and then they transfer it to the processing plant that will cut the wood up and everything and start to make products out of it. Actually, they have to dry it. They cut it up. They dry it for 6 months to 2 years to get all the moisture out of it, and then they can start making products out of it.
All right.
So the point is they're not having to spend money. We actually make money off the selling of the timber, which allows us to have money to start replanting trees. If we just started replanting trees in 2008 and 2009, we wouldn't be in as bad of a position as we are now. So that kind of underscores the need. Now is the time for Department of Urban Forestry and to move forward with the management plan so we're not stuck in this position again in the future. These are important subjects of which there's, you know, very little knowledge of, and you know, as an arborist, I feel an obligation to let people know about these problems before they hit. The oak wilt at one point we thought was going to be much worse in the area than it actually turned out to be. But this one is one that research shows around the nation that it's going to be devastating to our ash.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.